And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 5th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear you sound no chipper today.
Well, I'm trying to. It's Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday. It'll be Friday tomorrow, then it'll be Monday again the next day. So just enjoy it.
So let's just enjoy. Just enjoy today. Let's just enjoy this hour. And
It's an hour of life, a day of life, and the Bible says we should rejoice and be glad in it. And there's some days seem to be better than others, but I tell you what, no matter what, they all fly by.
And he really needs to multiply them a little bit more. Give us some more hours to the day or something. But anyway, maybe he could give us some more higher gold numbers today. But everything was down today. Gold was down $30 at $17.68. Silver was down 89 cents. It's still $22.31. So it's still up there. Platinum was down 19 at 1,004. Palladium was down 33. 1,941. The USDX today was stronger by 0.82 at 105.32. Crude oil was down almost $3 at 77.36. Paper markets today, they were all negative across the board. The Dow was down almost 1.5%, 482 points. 33,947. S&P was down 1.80%, 3,999. NASDAQ was down almost 2%, 11,239. European markets, the FTSE was stronger. Everything else was negative. Asia was positive across the board. 10-year yield moved up just a fraction, 3.596, 3.596. And, of course, all the oils were in negative territory, including natural gas, down 10% at 5.62. So that's pretty much it today. You know, you have Amazon layoffs. I don't know if you have this, Butch, if you saw this number. Did you see that number?
No, thanks now today.
Layoffs are now expected to amount to 20,000.
Wow.
Employees across the company in the coming months, including distribution center workers, technology staff, and corporate executives, about twice as many as previously reported as the retail and cloud computing giant retrenches after going on a hiring spree during the pandemic. And so again, you know, there were some layoffs coming out on Friday in various areas. And I know you're going to want to talk about Ukraine, and here we are looking to send $1.1 billion aid to Ukraine and Moldova. Energy sector.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, you got it.
Moldova. Yeah. I mean, they're prepping more aid to the Ukrainian government and the tiny country will be receiving significant aid for its failing energy grid. We can't even keep ours going. And yet we're sending tons of money to Moldova, of course. It's just, Butch, when's it going to stop? I mean, when is anybody going to say anything? It's just incredible. $53 million to send equipment to help stabilize Ukraine's energy grid and keep Ukraine's power and electricity running. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
And our infrastructure is falling apart. Bridges
are
falling apart.
Everything's falling apart.
Yep, that's just the way it is. But, you know, if you look to make sense of things today, you just drive yourself crazy. Well, nothing makes sense any longer. Nothing fits together like it used to. There's no, it seems like there's just no lack of. I don't know what word to use. There's no way to connect the dots any longer. It doesn't make any sense.
No, because the dots don't have a picture anymore, a clear picture anymore. Nobody knows, you know, what's going on out there, you know. And the funny thing about it is it's just like, why is Ukraine so focused? And you just, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I usually poo-poo most of them out there floating around and so forth. But these are just questions. It makes you wonder when you have this administration in particular, you have this administration's son who, you know, Ukraine was a very big, important part of their life for how many years? We know Ukraine was once the most corrupt nation in Europe, probably, if not, you know, I definitely can't say the world, but certainly it was corrupt, as many nations are in today's world. We're sending all that money, and you know that money is not all, I can't say I know for sure, but it makes you wonder, it makes you question whether all that money is being funneled down to what Ukraine really needed to fight Russia, how much of it is going into pockets, and to protect information from being released, maybe going forward with the Biden administration. I don't know.
Well, there are now stories out there that a lot of this equipment and monies are going to Africa that we're sending to Ukraine. So I have no idea.
I don't know why it would go to Africa.
I have no idea.
Unless
Ukraine's making some kind of deal, I don't know. But that is said that a lot of them have been funded. It's been funneled to places that are we'll say, enemies of the U.S., which a lot of nations are today. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you have China in there. So, I mean, I mean, I don't know the importance of what Africa would be. I don't know either.
Just going through articles, and I didn't get much detail on them. I just looked at the headlines and thought that's interesting. But it doesn't surprise me that it's been funneled off somewhere. You know it's not all going to help the Ukrainian people. It's not all going to help even the war. It never has, and it never will. The United States has shipped trillions of dollars around the world over many, many years, and I doubt that 20% of it may were supposed to go.
Pardon?
See, all the money we shipped overseas for so many years, I doubt that 20% of it made it where it's supposed to go.
Right.
When we know it's siphoning off the different interests and different politicians along the way. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's true. And when politicians like Biden and his son have a way to make money off nations, why wouldn't they support them? They're making money off. They made money from them. Probably still are, and China also. So these people are not. What's the old saying about if you go to court, you got to go with clean hands, so to speak. I don't know many politicians or anybody else, as far as corporate heads, that have clean hands. Do you?
Not too many. Nope.
So that's just the way it is. We're deceiving ourselves if we think we can trust politicians in just about any level, but especially in the White House.
Right.
Okay. So, let you finish up what you want to say, and I'll get started on some stories here.
No, you know, I saw what you mentioned about how those things are being funneled into. It was a Nigerian president that warned that the weapons and ammunition used in the war in Ukraine were winding up in the hands of terrorists in the Lake Chad region. He made these comments last week in the Nigerian capital. This was a press release. He wanted to draw attention to the increased number of arms, ammunition, and other weapons from the Russian-Ukraine war in the Lake Chad Basin. They're coming from other areas in Africa's Sahel region and the fighting in Libya. We forget about the other wars that are going on around the world because we just kind of sort of focus on what's going on in Ukraine.
That's true.
And regrettably, the situation in Sahel and the raging war in Ukraine serve as major sources of weapons and fighters that bolster the ranks of terrorists. That arms being used for the war in Ukraine and Russia are being equally filtered to the region. And Bahari's comments come amid a push from some Republicans in Washington for more oversight of the over $19 billion in weapons that the U.S. has poured into Ukraine. Well, we poured in more than $19 billion, that's for sure. And again, the Democrat Adam Smith just dismissed it as Russian propaganda. But what's interesting, though, is the NBI, the National Bureau of Investigation, Finland's national law enforcement agency, warned in October that these arms are actually ending up in Finland. They were also found in Sweden, Denmark, and the Netherlands. So, interesting.
Well, again, that's something that's clear outside of any way we could possibly know what all is going on. But nonetheless, with that many people, that much smoke, there's got to be a fire somewhere, put it that way.
Absolutely.
Somebody's telling the truth on there. So there's no point in kidding ourselves, people. We're being deceived, as usual, in mass. And it's nothing new. Been going on for many, many, many years, even before I realized going on myself. Now I look back on my lifetime, I realize how many times I was lied to. And like your lumpet, it's just a fact of life now. We come almost accustomed to it now. Although we are seeing some results that some of the major news media are starting to suffer because of a lot of things that they've spread over the years. We'll discuss that in a little bit, too. So it's just a matter of, I think, time that a lot of these people are going to pay a price for what they've done to the American people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the Russian-Ukraine war. I don't know whether this is all fact or not, but reports we have coming in, Russia's not doing too well. And the war is not being taken to Russia. I don't know what that's going to mean. I mean, makes me kind of nervous. But Russians have lost over 60 warplanes. Missions cut back drastically. Britain's Ministry of Defense claims Russian forces have lost over 60 fixed-wing aircraft and have cut aerial missions from a high of 300 sorties a day to mere tens. In recent months, the number of sorties conducted by Russian tactical combat aircraft over Ukraine has reduced significantly. The government ministry asserted in its daily update on the course of the conflict in Ukraine, suggesting that Russian warplanes were probably down to conducting tens of missions per day, where they previously carried up to 300 a day, immediately following the full-scale invasion of the country in March. Russia has now lost 60 fixed-wing aircraft in conflict, likely including an additional Su-24M Fencer, fighter bomber, and Su-25 Frogfoot ground attack aircraft last week. The MOD continued using the NATO reporting names for the warplanes, first designed by the Soviet Union in the 1960s and 70s, respectively. So, I don't know. I don't know, but we are seeing things now that LATVA calls for NATO to allow Ukrainian strikes inside Russian territory. Lafayette Foreign Minister Edgar Rinkevitz called for NATO to allow Ukraine to conduct strikes inside Russian territory, and the alliance should not fear Moscow's response. The White House has resisted sending key missiles with the range to hit targets inside Russia. During an interview on the sidelines of NATO summit in Romania, Rinkevitz stated, "We should allow Ukrainians to use weapons to target missile sites or airfields from where those operations are being launched. Allies should not fear escalation from Moscow," he added. Now, I don't know, understand, I don't know why you would think that. Why would we not fear escalation? If we start hitting them in their breadbasket, so to speak, why would they not want to hit back? While the White House has quickly told Kiev that it cannot hit Russian territory, in May, President Joe Biden said, "We're not going to send to Ukraine rocket systems that strike into Russia." However, the Biden administration has explicitly authorized attacks on the Crimean Peninsula, Ukrainian territory that was annexed by Russia in 2014. The Kremlin reacted sharply to a series of attacks in Crimea, including destroying a large swath of Ukrainian power grid. Well, be that as it may, I just can't see Melody, Russia sitting by idly while being attacked in a spread basket. Can you?
No, and I don't. And it's, I mean, we have no idea what truth we're getting out of there. And, you know, I'd like to say we're getting at least partial truth from the U.S., but that's, I really don't believe that. I find it hard to believe that Ukraine, we're giving it so much money. I mean, how can it be? It's hard to believe that a little country like Ukraine is defending itself against Russia. I mean, how does that work?
That's a good question. But says this article should concern us all. This was Bob Bates on Mainline News this morning too. An explosion at nuclear air base just 150 miles from Moscow opens stunning new phase of war. Two explosions at major Russian military bases, including the Dyajevlev base near Ryazan, just 150 miles from Moscow, mean the war in Ukraine has come right to Vladimir Putin's doorstep. The explosions, which may have been missile or drone strikes, but that has yet to be confirmed, suggest that whoever is behind them wants to strike fear right in the heart of Russia. The second explosion struck the Ingalls 2 base, from which Tu-95 bombers have been pummeling Ukraine's infrastructure over the last month. A fuel truck explosion at the base near Ryazan killed at least 3 and wounded a half dozen and reportedly damaged Tu-95 bombers and Tu-22M long-range missile bombers, which have nuclear capability. So, apparently, they are striking right in the heartland of Russia. I don't know if what's going to do, if anything, but again, I can see Putin sitting back and saying, all right, so they hit us, don't worry about it, you know, let's go ahead and throw pebbles at them, whatever. I don't see that happening. If they get more attacks from Russian soil, I think there's a good chance they'll step up they'll escalate towards the point that they'll make everybody very uncomfortable. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I saw a headline that Macron out of France says that Putin wants guarantees. And it's like, yeah, I mean, and trust me, when we talk about this, I'm not a fan of Putin. All right. But I mean, you got to look at both sides. This isn't but for him to, there's certain things he wants. And, you know, we should, if anybody's talking to him to stop this, to stop the war, they're going to have to issue guarantees. And they couldn't do it before, or they did issue a guarantee and they went against it. Because that was part of the, you know, whatever was signed back in the 90s, that was, or the early 2000s, or whenever it was. My apologies for not knowing the exact date. But there was an agreement that they would keep Ukraine out of NATO. And then everything these administrations have done is doing everything to reverse that. So
that's very true.
So they can't even, you know, how can he even believe the guarantees that he might receive? I don't know. It's just
my thoughts. It is just looking to get much more serious. Again, I don't think, again, Russia's going to tolerate being attacked 150 miles from Moscow. If they got that close to them, I'm sure they could probably put one in the heart of Moscow. I don't think that's going to go over too well. I don't know what they're going to do about it, if anything. But I just don't sense in my spirit that they're just going to sit back and keep on doing what they're doing. When they start attacking Russia on its home soil, that's going to lead a lot more consequences for Ukraine. And as we've been warned many times, it could escalate to a nuclear war. And I don't want to see that happen. Nobody does in the right mind. But it's a possibility, nonetheless.
Certainly is. I mean, this certainly was a warning to Putin for whatever.
It was. It was.
And that's our warning as we're heading into a break. And we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, all things ain't what they used to be. Rage, radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are nice.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Butch?
Yes, ma'am. I was talking about the Amazon, the other thing. I was talking about the media and lying to us for so long. And this article, I think, this isn't by any means new news. It's been happening quite a while. Many media corporations are starting to hurt and laying off people everywhere, including the HLN and others. But from CNN to Paramount, media companies cut jobs as pressures mount. Entertainment and publishing firms look to trim costs amid streaming losses and ad slowdown. New organizations, TV networks, movie and television studios, and entertainment giants laid off hundreds of workers over the past week alone, including Warner Brothers, and I'm trying to find that, CNN and Paramount. They all laid off people. The moves come after many entertainment companies spent the past few years spending heavily on streaming services. They're now a drag on financial results. Traditional broadcast and cable television, meanwhile, continue to face viewer and subscription erosion. Add on fears of recession and a slowdown in ad spending. And an industry that managed to survive and in some cases thrive as audiences swelled during the COVID-19 pandemic is now in retreat. Walt Disney Company, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Paramount Global lost a combined $2.5 billion on streaming in the most recent quarter alone and are now trying to rein in costs. On Tuesday, AMC Networks Incorporated said it will cut 20% of U.S. workforce, citing the inability of its streaming apps to make up for losses and from cord cutting. At CNN, low ratings, advertising concerns, and challenges at his parent's company, Warner Brothers, Discovery led to layoffs this past week. In a memo to staff, CNN chairman Chris Licht said CNN's sister channel, HLN, would stop carrying live programming as part of its cost-saving efforts. Garnet Company, said it's published many newspapers, including USA Today, on Thursday began laying off more than 200 people, on top of another 400 job cuts earlier this year. The Washington Post on Wednesday said it would stop publishing a Sunday print magazine, resulting in a loss of about 10 jobs, which it doesn't sound huge, but this all adds up. A few hundred here, 100 there, adds up to a lot of people. And I was talking to a head of some banks just the other day, Melody, and they're cutting way back on about any kind of loans, but especially auto loans, because they see the bottom falling out. They see it happening. They say, we're not going to take a chance on this right now. They see the recession coming, and they know it's coming hard. So they're not making loans, on items that depreciate anyway over a period of time. So they're tightening down auto loans. And auto loans now, gee whiz, are 6% and 7% now, interest rates. And people just can't afford to keep up. So I don't know whether this should be concerning or not, but when they have one of the banks, some banks that I know personally told me this, they weren't kidding. They're really concerned about this. So they're cutting back on even loaning money for autos. That doesn't sound good to me, Melody.
Well, it's just another sign. It's a sign that, people in the know what's coming. And, that's what we think we're getting. It doesn't matter if they, lower the inflation rate from 8.4 to 8.3 or 8.0, it's so minuscule, and our inflation is much greater than that anyway. And the high cost, as I mentioned the other day, if you know, bread drops from $5 to $4. It's real still expensive, but people can say, well,
yeah.
You know, bread dropped a whole dollar. You know, things in the, oh, those Democrats are doing such a great job. No. Or those Republicans, keep them all in the same boat. No. And it's just, inflation is here to stay because it's just not a supply and demand issue. That just brought everybody's attention to what's really going on. It's really, and it really isn't a supply and demand. It is, you know, because our demand isn't any stronger than what it was in 2019.
That's true.
So you're looking at the supply chain. It's like, okay, really? So what is really the issue? You know. What,
well,
China?
The issue obviously is printing money. That's one of the biggest issues.
That's the issue.
I mean, even the supply chain was disrupted for a while, but it still is. It's still the printing of fiat currencies that kept this keeping inflation going. It's not just here, worldwide. But I live here in America, and I know the dollar is almost worthless, and that's just all there is to it. We're going to cover that in just a minute. The article here is found this on goldswitzerland.com. I mean, Von Gurez is in the end, the dollar goes to zero and the U.S. defaults. Very good article we'll share in a minute. But, it's just a matter of fact that we printed ourselves into oblivion. We have for many, many, many years, and now the chickens come home to roost. Matter of fact, the same banker told me that they'll be going to digital real soon. Now, they didn't set dates. Well, they just said soon, didn't say real soon. But I'll be going to digital soon. If, to me, that is telling me if you got paper in the bank, get it out and put in something else. And that's, Melly, that's coming from somebody that's worked in the banking industry for at least 25 years. I think that's your concern, don't you?
You know, people really do need to pay attention. And, you know, we've always been given breaks. You know, they were able to do whatever is necessary to kick that can a little bit further down the road. And they're good at it. Yeah, they have all the time in the world because they're set up for generation to generation where we, just as humans, are focused on today. And how does it affect us today and tomorrow? And you really need to look forward and see, where does this go? How is it going to affect me? How's it going to affect my family? How's it going to affect my children and grandchildren? And if you don't think that's important, well, you know what? That's okay. That's your choice. But I think most people want to, you know, protect whatever they got.
And, I agree.
You know, gold and silver is not the, you know, 100% guarantee in this world. There isn't any 100% guarantee. There's only one guarantee in our life, if you choose. You know.
Well, there's so much information about now that I've heard you talk about in the past. I remember Bob Chapman talked about in the past. I'm going to discuss derivatives in a minute. I understand derivatives to a point, but I have to explain a little more to me and get into the article in a few minutes. But Bob Chapman wrote about that many years ago, and as a hidden time bomb, so to speak. You have two. I've heard you mention before yourself, but this article here says, with the U.S. and global debt exploding prior to both assets and debt imploding, let us look at the disastrous consequences for the U.S. and the world. Debt explosion leading to the currency becoming worthless has happened in history for as long as there have been some form of money, whether we talk about 3rd century Rome, 18th century France, 20th century Weimar Republic, and many, many more. So here we are again, another monetary era, another guarantee collapse, as von Mises said. There is no means of avoiding the final collapse of a boom brought about by credit expansion. Now, let that sink in, folks. There's no means of avoiding a final collapse by a boom brought about by credit expansion. That means printing money. That's what it means. This disastrous borrowed prosperity with zero ability to repay the surging debt will lead to one of the three consequences below. The U.S. dollar goes to zero, a U.S. default, or both the above. The most likely outcome is number three, in my view. The dollar will go to zero, and the U.S. will default. The same will happen to most countries. I outline the consequences for this for the world at the end of this article. Many people say that the U.S. can never default. That, of course, is absolute nonsense. If a country prints worthless debt that nobody will buy in a currency that no one wants to hold, the country is definitely defrauded whether they spend they put on one more time. that no one wants to hold, the country has definitely defaulted whatever spend they put on it. The next few years, not just the U.S., but all sovereign debt will only have one buyer, which is the country that issued the debt. And every time a sovereign state buys its own debt, it is to issue more worthless debt that nobody will touch with a barge pole. Printing more money to pay for previous sins has never worked and never will. And this is how money dies, just like it has throughout history. The current monetary era started with the foundation of the Fed in 1913, and the acceleration of debt and currency debasement since 1971, when Nixon closed the gold window. With just over 100 years into the era, it is now approaching the end like they all do. Global currencies are already down. Now, folks, listen to this, please. Global currencies are already down 97 to 99% since 1971. And we can now expect the final 1 to 3% decline for all money to become virtually worthless. This is, of course, nothing new in history, since every single currency has always gone to zero. We must, of course, remember that the final 1 to 3% move means a 100% fall from today. The final collapse is always the quickest, so it could easily happen in the next 2 to 5 years, and maybe, I think, my opinion, less than that. But he's right on that every currency has always gone to zero, Melody, every one of them. Every one of them. And how many nations in the last 20, 30 years have we discussed on the radio show in different places and went to zero that we can name? Zimbabwe and Venezuela and others. I went to zero.
Several.
I mean, we can mention a lot of them. The U.S., and why do we think we're immune to this? Why are we so arrogant, so hard-headed and stiff-necked that we think that this won't apply to us? It will apply. It is applying. And the fact that all currencies are down 97 to 99% since 1971, Melody, think about that. That is huge. That is huge. When a gallon of gas back in 1971 cost 22 cents, I think the average now is like about 340 or something like 350. How much of an increase in gasoline prices? Now, there's no shortage of gasoline and oil. There never has been, and there's not. No. Let's say they make it that way for a purpose. So how much inflation goes from 22 cents to 350? That's huge, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you can live on well on $500 a month in 1971. It takes 5,000 more today to do it, or more.
Yep.
So don't tell me the dollar went to nothing. It's basically nothing already. And this is only the beginning. People, pay attention to the next articles. You're going to hear a word in here that I'm going to emphasize when we get to it, because this is all was warned about by Bob Chapman. I wish Bob Chapman was still around. He was such a wise guy when it comes to finances. He really was. And I miss him. I really do. But huge, missing, and growing. $65 trillion in dollar debt sparks concern. It's out of Bloomberg. Institutions outside the U.S. are holding an estimated $65 trillion in missing dollar debt off their balance sheets through currency derivatives, making it harder for global policymakers to anticipate the next financial crisis. Melody, would you please, for my sake, too, one more time explain derivatives?
On a Monday?
Well, yeah, do best you can.
Oh, man. It's basically an insurance policy that's not backed by anything. There's no, what word am I trying to think of? There's no collateral to it whatsoever.
No substance.
It's a handshake. So, yeah, we'll cover that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's
nothing more
that's
than
important.
That.
I mean, so what they're saying is they're putting money in air. Is that
that's
fair?
Right.
According to a paper from the Bank of International Settlements, folks, this isn't my opinion. This very short-term hidden borrowing forms a part of a huge missing and growing debt that the likes of pension funds, repeat that, emphasize that the likes of pension funds owe through foreign exchange swaps and other derivatives transactions. Pension funds, folks, let that sink in again. This is a problem, the BIS noted, because FX swaps were flashpoints during both the global financial crisis and the early days of the pandemic, when dollar funding stress forced central banks to step in to help struggling borrowers. It is not even clear how many analysts are aware of the existence of this large off-balance sheet obligation, said researchers Claudio Braulio, Robert McCauley, and Patrick McGuire, noting that the lack of information to the former dollar borrowing puts policymakers on the back foot. Thus, in times of crisis, policies are to restore the smooth flow of the short-term dollars in the financial system, for instance, into central bank swap lines, are set in a fog. The $65 trillion hidden global debt bomb. Now, folks, that's huge, $65 trillion. That's probably even low. The findings based on data from a triennial survey of global currency markets early this year offer a rare insight into the scale of hidden leverage. The total amount of dollar debt from the derivatives stands at more than $80 trillion, exceeding the combined value of the dollar treasury bills, repurchase agreements, and commercial paper, BIS said. Folks, that is huge, and many, many billions and trillions of dollars of pensions have been funded by derivatives. Amelia, if that goes, and the dollar goes, what are people going to do? I don't know if you got $5,000 in a bank or $5 million in a bank. Broke is still broke, isn't it?
Absolutely, and we're forgetting about this crypto debacle.
Sure.
How many derivatives you think are involved in that? And they're going to, and these Democrats or all politicians who got money from FTX, they're all going to back it and hide it as much as they can. So they'll try to keep that from falling. I mean, they're looking at this crook like, you really believe he didn't know what was going on? He's pleading, "Oh, I'm so innocent." So yeah, these derivatives are an issue, and all it takes is, you know, a few of those crypto places, a few more of them to go bankrupt. But the FTX, I mean, we have no idea what the fall of that with these derivatives are going to be.
And how long ago has it been? A few years now, that the banks now say they own, the bank says your money is their money.
Yep.
In other words, if you got money in the bank, folks, if they want to spend on something else, they can. It's not your money. I'm serious about that. 401ks, IRAs right now are the highest risk in out there, period. Period. You need to cash them in. I know you don't get charged a penalty or roll them over something that you can count on, but get it out of paper and don't wait even another week. Do it as quick as possible. Melody, that's very good to break. I know we are, so go ahead.
Oh, yes, we are. 1-800-375-4188. And, yeah, I mean, this is $65 trillion in derivatives. That is just, you know, numbers are far higher than that in derivatives, far higher. But we'll be back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TruthAndEducationRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. And I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. That's you.
That's me.
That's you.
It was yesterday anyway. I guess to do it today.
It better be. Who else am I doing the program with?
I have no idea. You'd have a hard time placing me. Who else talks like a hillbilly?
Yeah, I know. It's yes. You guys are hard to find.
That's exactly right. You know, McCarthy, I guess, is going to take over as Speaker of the House. I assume. That's what he assumes, too, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but he can play that way now. But
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess, in about a month or so. But McCarthy said, defense bill won't move forward unless military vaccine mandate dropped. I do like that.
Of course.
I mean, that's something that should have been done a long time ago. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy vowed on Sunday that the fiscal 2023 National Defense Authorization Act will not move forward unless the military's COVID-19 vaccine mandate ends. Speaking of Fox Business Network's Sunday Morning Features, McCarthy said that lawmakers are working through an $817 billion National Defense bill with the hopes of lifting the vaccine mandate among military personnel. The mandate has been in place since August 2021. We will secure lifting that vaccine mandate on the military because what we're finding is they're kicking out men and women that have been serving, McCarthy said, noting recruitment shortfalls. That's the first victory of having a Republican majority, and we'd like to have more of those victories, and we should start moving those now. We'll see. And I don't get much excited about Republican victories. I haven't seen many of them in the last little while, to quite honest with you. So we'll see what to do with that. I think that is a good move.
Yeah, that would be great. Maybe it would set up some sort of precedence to where, you know, it would follow into some other areas, maybe in the medical profession and so forth. So,
yeah, I mean, how many thousands of good personnel did they lose in the military, not to mention just in the medical field, because they wouldn't take the vax? How many thousands of really qualified men and women walked out because of that?
Yeah, and recruitments are down, too, because of that.
That's very true, and they're dropping a standard now to the point that most of them can't even read and write to putting in there. So we're seeing a decay of a lot of things, and when the military medical field goes, that's not a good thing at all. But this next article has to do with veterans also, but not here. This is out of Canada. And I read it, and I looked at it again, and I thought, this is absolutely unacceptable. A disabled Canadian Army veteran, a paraplegic, blasts government for offering to euthanize her when she complained about how long it was taking to install a stair lift in her home. Now, I'm going to repeat that. This lady, a Army veteran, paraplegic, said the government, instead of getting a chairlift in a home, they said, we will euthanize you because you complain about the chairlift. Well, let's just go ahead and put you down. Now, Trudeau said this is totally unacceptable. Of course, I know it just broke his heart when he heard this. Anyway, a disabled veteran in Canada has slammed her government for offering to euthanize her when she grew frustrated at delays in having a wheelchair lift installed in her home. Retired Army Corporal Christine Gallier, A former paraplegic, PARALYMPIAN, Paralympian, I guess it is.
Yes.
Testified in Parliament on Thursday that a Veterans Affairs Canada caseworker made the assisted suicide offer. After years of frustrating delays in getting a home lift, Guthrie says that the caseworker told her, "Madam, if you're really so desperate, we can give you medical assistance in dying now." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just so touching? I don't know where these people come from. I don't know how they live in society. They're being so callous and careless about other people. In other words, if you don't quit your griping, we'll just put you down. Now, isn't that loving, Melody?
I don't know what's wrong with people anymore.
And according to this article, she wasn't the only one they offered to do this for, by the way. It's just unthinkable and so shameful. Yeah, this is Canada, folks, but it's not much better here. You know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, you all probably heard this at the Clarksburg Veterans Hospital right here in West Virginia. Someone killed, I forget how many vets, gave them doses of insulin when they weren't diabetics, and they killed them. I think somewhere around 12 people. And I think they found out, I think it was a nurse. But I haven't heard a word about what happened to that nurse. I haven't heard a word. Did this person go to jail? What was the trial? What happened? I haven't heard a word. They swept under the rug. Now, veterans in the hospital apparently are disposable, because this didn't come out any longer. Once they said they caught the individual, never heard anything about a case or trial or anything. Maybe I'm wrong. Somebody out there knows different. Please tell me, because I'd like to know what happened to this individual that murdered somewhere around a dozen people in a veterans hospital. I thought it was kind of strange, Melody, that it didn't make national news and stay in there to show what happened to this person. It's kind of unusual, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
So,
was it done by mistake, or was it done by...
No, just done on purpose. Done on purpose. Oh. Done on purpose. I mean, done like a dozen times. You don't make a dozen mistakes too often on things. Get overshoot with insulin when they weren't diabetics. So, I don't know. This doesn't sound right. And the society in this country is starting to unravel in so many different ways. And it breaks my heart to see it happening, but it's happening because it's being forced on us. They're forcing people to get angry, and I think that's probably what they want. They want to cause chaos so they can bring in order, so to speak. Well, DHS just issued a huge national terrorism bulletin in advance of Christmas. Folks, this country is not what I grew up in. It is nowhere near what I knew growing up. Neighbors as a whole got along with each other very well. There were moral standards set among the neighborhood that people accepted and expected to be carried out. It's changed. Whether you like the holidays or not, at least during the holidays, people used to try to get along because it was holidays. It's family time. But that's changing. The United States remains in a heightened threat environment. Lone offenders and small groups motivated by a range of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances continue to propose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. Domestic actors and foreign terrorist organizations continue to maintain a visible presence online in attempts to motivate supporters to conduct attacks in the homeland. Threat actors have recently mobilized to violence, citing factors such as reactions to current events and adherence to violent extremist ideologies. In the coming months, threat actors could exploit several upcoming events to justify or commit acts of violence, including certifications related to the midterm elections, the holiday season, and the associated large gatherings, the marking of 2 years since a breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and potential social-political developments connected to ideological beliefs and personal hostility. Targets of potential violence include public gatherings, faith-based institutions, the LGBTQI+ community, schools, racial and religious minorities, government facilities and personnel, U.S. critical infrastructure, the media, and perceived by ideological opponents. Well, that pretty much covers the whole society, Melody.
Pretty much.
Covers about all of it. And we're talking about the infrastructure. I'm sure you saw this in the news. Tens of thousands lose power after gunfire takes out North Carolina substations. Yeah. Authorities in North Carolina and beyond are descending upon Monroe County, North Carolina, this weekend after a brazen act that has left tens of thousands without power. The strange and cruel act appears to have been coordinated, multi-site attack on power substations in the region was damaged so terrible that it could take me several days before things get back to normal. Over 40,000 Moore County, North Carolina residents were powerless on Sunday afternoon after two substations were taken out by gunfire on Saturday night, according to police. Moore County Sheriff Ronnie Fields said in a Facebook post on Saturday that just after 7 p.m. on that night, several communities across the county began to experience power outages. Duke Energy, which operates a power grid in the county, responded to at least two different substations. There was evidence of intentional vandalism at both, Fields said. The attack was unprecedented. We faced something that last night here in Moore County we have never faced before, Fields said during a Facebook live press conference on Sunday afternoon. Twitter users have begun a great deal of wild speculation, unsurprisingly, with many insinuating that the attack was the work of domestic terrorists working to prevent a local charity drag show from occurring. Police even went so far as to interview one woman who claimed to have insider knowledge of the event on social media, only to report back that they had no reason to believe this to be true. So we have people out with guns in their hands shooting up substations. So are they going to start putting armed guards around substations? This melody our society is unraveling. You cannot govern a totally lawless people. You can't do it. There's not enough personnel to do that. Stores are chaining products to the shelves, putting glass cases. Now we have substations being shot at. I don't want the reason was. Nobody does. A lot of speculation. But we're seeing this happen. America is becoming a nation of violence. And there's nothing I can say to that to change it. It's just the way it is. Pro-life group in Nebraska received shooting threat. A shooting threat note allegedly signed by Jane's Revenge. A pro-life group received a note which appeared to be signed by the pro-abortion domestic terror group, Jane's Revenge, threatening to shoot up the space where the activists were meeting. The note reads, "If our right to abortion in Bellevue is taken away due to the attempt to pass an abortion ban, and it gets passed, we will shoot up your Newman Center with new AR-14 rifles. Sincerely, James Revenge." Now, I won't get into all this article. It goes on from there. But so far, the threat in the latest case among more than a dozen pro-life centers and church vandalisms and firebombings claimed by James Revenge. The FBI said in June that it was investigating a wave of attacks against pro-life centers across the country. But as of early October, the FBI had not confirmed whether any arrests had been made in attacks against at least 83 Catholic churches and 73 pregnancy resource centers and organizations. So, what do you say? What can you say? We have outright threats to shoot places up now. I mean, outright threats to do that. So what comes next? What's next on the line? How do we handle all this? This division, 50 years ago, folks, this one wasn't even considered a division. Murdering unborn babies was totally against the law. We didn't have this problem. And now we have people that are not being violent. They're just trying to save unborn babies' lives. And they're being threatened to be shot up. What do these people do? Do they sit back and take it? Or do they have to defend themselves? What do we do? This is a very valid point, and I think a very relevant question. How do you respond when somebody's shooting at you? Mel, do you want anything to that?
Well, you know, it's amazing because if the shoe was on the other foot, there'd be all kinds of, you know, repercussions and so forth in doing that. And it truly is. And I mean, and any type of violence is wrong. Even the, you know, pro-lifers who go after the abortion places and bomb them and stuff, that's wrong. It's not, you don't do that. But yet here you have someone coming out to claim the to shoot pro-life, and you don't hear a peep about it hardly anywhere. And, you know, and so many of these, you know, mass shootings and so forth and whatnot, there's always been so many warnings and everything from registrations to things. And you know what? Nobody does a good job. You know, everything just falls because people are just downright don't do their jobs anymore. They're out there demanding that they get raises and sick pay and all this kind of stuff. Well, why don't you earn it? You know, and that's part of the problem. Government agencies can't do anything right. You know, they're everything is just accepted for, you know what, again, the word accountable for even to your job and working properly to so Butch, it's just another par for the course. It's just, you know, we'll just push this under the rug unless something happens. And then, you know, and then it'll just be, you know, a little bit of news.
Well,
you know. Or they'll use it for banning, you know, their weapons and so forth.
Of course. But how many times have we said on this broadcast, without morality, nothing holds together?
Yeah.
You know, and Colossians chapter 1 says that through Christ everything consists. In other words, he's the mortar that holds society together, which that is a moral basis in Christ. If you lose that, you lost everything. So that's where we are in America today. Oh, my gosh,
we're out of time. And we lost our hour. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.